They will naturally agree with this proposal. So he invited them, and then he proposed to them that he now decided to retire and he wanted to install Ram in the throne of Ayodhya. Everyone was naturally very happy that Ram already won the hearts of everyone. So everyone was very happy that he was going to be now coronated as the ruler of the country. At that time, Ram reached the age of 27. At what age Ramchandra got married? At the age of 16. And now, at the age of 27, he is going to be coronated by his father in the throne. So, and when everybody agreed naturally, then king told to the Vasishtha to make all the arrangements to coronate Ram the next day. And so the preparations were being made and everybody was very, very happy. There was festivity all around. Now Kaikeyi had a maid servant. Her name was Manthara. Manthara was hunchback. Kaikeyi's father sent Manthara with Kaikeyi when she got married to King Dasharath. Actually, Manthara was an apsara. The demigods, in order to kill Ravan, they deputed her to make certain arrangements. So she was sent by the demigods. Now, he appeared as a hunchback woman, but with a purpose. And we'll see the purpose later on. So Manthara went to the palace of the roof of the palace, and he saw everywhere. This is such festivity was going on. The whole city has been decorated. Everyone seemed to be so happy. And so he asked Kaushala's maidservants, "What is happening? Like, why? What is going on?" So they said, "Oh, you don't know that tomorrow Ram is going to be coronated." So Manthara became very upset. And he immediately ran to Kaikeyi. He said, "Do you know tomorrow Ram is going to get coronated?" Kaikeyi said, "Yes, I know." And she gave Manthara one of her priceless necklaces. Said, "You also celebrate, take this." Manthara just threw it away. Said, "You foolish woman, you don't understand what's happening. It is the conspiracy of your husband. That's why he sent Bharat away." Bharat at that time was in his mother's, in his uncle's house in Kekaya province. He was not present there. And she vitiated her mind, saying that King Dasharath is reinstating Ram in the throne, and in order to have Ram's path clear for that, he removed Bharat from there. And if Ram becomes the king, then she made her understand that Bharat will become his slave, and you will become a slave of Kaushala. And my fortune also is connected to yours. Because when you are fortunate, I am fortunate. When you get into misfortune, then I will be unfortunate. So that's why I'm giving this good advice. Do something that Bharat can be the king, not Ram. If that happens, then you'll be glorified, Bharat will be fortunate, and I'll also be fortunate. So Kaikeyi was not initially understanding how a maidservant could speak to her like that. But then she started to see. She started to get affected by her treacherous plan. So then finally she said, "But what to do? What can I do?" Then Kaikeyi said, "Don't worry, I have devised a plan. Do you remember when Dasharath was fighting on behalf of the demigods? then he became very badly injured. At that time you treated Dasarath, and he became so pleased with you that he told you at that time that he will give you two boons. You could ask anything from him. But at that time you just told him that what's the point in asking anything from you, because you have given me everything. But Dasarath told you that anyway, in future if you ever want something, then you can tell me and I'll be obliged to you, fulfill your demand, fulfill your desire. So now is the time to ask for the boons. On the first boon, you asked that Bharat would become the king. And then with the second, you ask him to banish Ram to the forest for 14 years. So, and then now, in order to attract Dasarath's attention, you just take off your ornaments, take off your royal garments, royal dress, and you just wrap yourself up with a worn-out dirty cloth and lie on the ground. And when Dasarath will come and see you in that state, then he will ask you what has happened. So that's what happened. Kaikeyi just went to the took off her ornaments and jewelries and dressed herself up, and she was lying in the floor. So King Dasarath came and searching after Kaikeyi. Actually, Dasarath was very fond of Kaikeyi. Kaikeyi was the youngest princess and she was extremely beautiful. Of course, all the other queens also are beautiful, but Dasarath was very, very attached to Kaikeyi. So he came looking for her and he found her in that state. So he asked, what happened? Then finally Kaikeyi told him that, remember you gave me two boons? And Dasarath said, yes, I remember. Tell me what you want. And he said, now is the time that I want you to give me those boons. The one first boon is, out of the first boon, I want that Bharat should become the king, not Ram. And the second, Ram should be banished to the forest for 14 years. When Dasarath heard that, he thought Kaikeyi was joking, because he couldn't understand that. We could never imagine that Kaikeyi could ask something like that. But then it started to dawn in him and he said, look, you treated Ram as your own son. You're actually, at times it seemed that you're more affectionate to Ram than Bharat. And Ram also treats you like his own mother. What happened to you? Why are you behaving like this? But Kaikeyi was adamant. So when Bharat realized that Kaikeyi was serious in asking that, Dasarath fainted. He fainted and fell on the ground. When he regained his senses, he started to plead to Kaikeyi, please don't ask something like this. But Kaikeyi was adamant. In the meantime, searching for his father, Ram found him there in a very, very dejected mood. So he asked, what actually happened? Dasarath at first didn't want to tell him, but then he broke the news that this is what Kaikeyi actually came and told Ram. Dasarath himself couldn't tell that to Ram. Kaikeyi told Ram that this is actually the matter. So Ram said, well, if my father gave you his words, then I'll positively fulfill that word. Don't worry. And then Ram prepared to go to the forest. He was supposed to be coronated the same day, but now he is now preparing to leave for the forest. Lakshman wanted to accompany him. Sita also wanted to accompany him. Ram told, you have never been to the, you never seen any hardship in your life. How will you go to the forest? It's full of thorns, full of dangerous animals. But Sita insisted, no. Wherever you are, I'll be there. Because you are my only refuge. So in this way, Sita also went to the forest with Ramchandra. And so then Ram left the palace. All the citizens were following Ram. Actually, before that, they put on the tree barks, they took off all the royal robes and put on a tree bark. Sita also put on tree bark. And Sumantra took them on the chariot of Dasarath and he was driving them. The whole city of Ayodhya were following them. They were following Ram and Lakshman and Sita. So riding, that day they came onto the bank of the Ganges, and there there was the king of the a tribal called Nishadas. His name was Guha. So Guha was a friend of Ram. So Guha, when Ram, he got the news that Ram has come, he became very pleased. And he heard everything. And he said, you stay here with me. I will take care of you and there's nothing to worry about. But Ram said, no Guha, I cannot stay here. Because I am duty bound to live in a forest. So although you are very kind to me, but I will not be able to stay here. And Guhak then made all the wonderful arrangements for Ram. Beautiful food were cooked and all beautiful beds were arranged. But Ram refused that. He said, I can't accept any of these gifts of yours, Guha. I have accepted the vow of the life of an ascetic. So, please do not request me in this way. But the food I will take. Because the horses are tired. And so I'll offer this food to the horses. So Ram accepted the food stuff. Offered them to the horses. And that night he stayed there under a tree on the bed of grass. The prince and the princess, who never knew any hardship in their whole life, who used to sleep in the softest possible beds, now they're sleeping under a tree. On the bare ground, on a bed of grass, bed of kusha grass. Ram and Sita slept under a banyan tree, and Lakshman and Guha guarded them, stayed up awake the whole night. And the next morning when Ram wanted to go across the river, so at that time Guha told his men to bring a boat to take Ram across. There is a beautiful narration in this respect. When the boatman was taking Ram across the river, Ramchandra wanted to pay him some price. Boatman was very wise. He said, look, I don't take any price now. When the time comes and I have to go across the mission, ocean of material nature, then you become my boatman and take me across. So that is what we should all desire. That the Supreme Person, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead helps us to go across the ocean of material nature. Oh, before leaving, Ram asked Guha to bring the sap of the banyan tree. And with the sap of the banyan tree, he matted his hair. He had beautiful long hair. So now that he is accepting the life of an ascetic, he just put that sap of banyan tree, which is sticky. So that was, he applied on his head. And he left that night, at that morning. And and then they walked for a long distance. Walking a long distance, they came to the ashram of Bharadvaj, a great sage called Bharadvaj Muni, Bharadvaj Rishi. And Bharadvaj was very pleased to receive Ram. And Bharadvaj actually also offered him that, he told him, Ram, I have been expecting you, your arrival, since hearing of your exile. I wish you could spend the 14 years here, peacefully in my ashram, with my students at your disposal. You would not be inconvenienced. So Bharadvaj also offered Ram to stay in his ashram. But Ramchandra told him that, look, your ashram is very close to Ayodhya. So if I stay here, then people will always keep coming here. So, better I go somewhere else. So please tell me where I should go. So then Bharadvaj suggested that he goes to Chitrakoot. Chitrakoot mountain, he said it's a beautiful place. It is surrounded by fruit and flower bearing trees and plants, and you'll be very peaceful there. So Ramchandra then decided to go, and Bharadvaj gave him the direction how to go there. He gave him the direction. So Ram then left for that ashram. And on the way, they came to the ashram of Valmiki Rishi. And Sita and Ram were accepted by that illustrious sage. And then there in Chitrakoot mountain, Ram told Lakshman to build a hut. So he built a hut, and they decided to live there in Chitrakoot mountain. And in the meantime, Guha actually sent his spy to see where Ramchandra is going, his whereabouts. So the spy, when they found that Ramchandra has settled in Chitrakoot, he went and reported to Guha. Sumantra was waiting for all this while, and he also was informed. Then he decided to go back to Ayodhya. After 2 days, Sumantra arrived in Ayodhya. All the citizens of Ayodhya were waiting for him to come back. And when they came, they just stopped his chariot. And everyone started to ask, what happened? Where is Ram? And they all were so heartbroken. And Sumantra told him, and they said, they all wanted to go where Ram was. And Sumantra pacified them Then he went to King Dasarath. And when he told Dasarath about what happened, thus where that Ram left, and he brought the news, actually the citizens fainted. And this is a very beautiful description. Because they began to weep, because we cannot see Lord Ram, we are condemned. Alas, we have lost him, but we can never forget how he used to glance at us affectionately and speak lovingly. When we will ever see him again? Sumantra then entered the royal palace and met afflicted Dasharath, and he relayed Ram's message to him, King Dasharath. Dasharath was so heartbroken that he was practically fainted all the time. He was unconscious all the time. And Sumantra knew that Maharaj Dasarath's life could only be sustained by the news of Ram. So he started to describe that at the time of our parting, Ram instructed me to return to Ayodhya to render service unto you and Bharat. Ram's only concern is for your welfare, and thus he wants to ensure that your promise to Kaikeyi is fulfilled. He also requested that I inform his mother, Kaushalya, that he is faring well. In addition, O Kaushalya, your son has requested that you remain constantly devoted to righteousness and worship your husband's lotus feet as you those of a deity. So in this way, Ram gave different messages to Ram also asked me, the Sumantra told, asked me to relay a message to Bharat, begging that he should look upon Kaushalya and Sumitra as he does his own mother. In this way, Sumantra kept on describing. These are all details. I'm just touching them briefly. After hearing Sumantra's words, Maharaj Dasarath became even more overwhelmed with grief. In a fit of despair, he declared, "You must take me to where Ram is staying, or somehow bring him here, otherwise I shall die. I am merged in an ocean of grief." And in this way, Dasarath was lamenting, and she was, at that time, Kaushalya told Dasarath, "Now you are lamenting, but it's all because of you. You are so attached to your truthfulness that you banished your own son, who is actually the ultimate purpose of being truthful. He is the absolute truth himself. The actual truth is to remain attached to his Lord, to him. Now for you held on to the truth and you rejected the goal of truthfulness." So in this way, Kaushalya was somewhat rebuking King Dasarath. "Why are you lamenting? It is you who so unkindly banished your son to the forest. You value your truth more than the value of your own son, in whom all truth resides. Alas, O King, lest your followers begin to doubt the wisdom of your action. If you continue to lament, your subjects will perish in the fire of separation from Lord Ram." So she was urging him to bring back Ram, even at the cost of giving up his vow on truth. So in this way, we are actually seeing that the ultimate goal of life is to remain attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Another such incident we find in Bhishma. In order to remain truthful or on the path of dharma, he sided with Duryodhana, forgetting that actually the real truth, real dharma is to side with Pandavas, because they are the devotees. So the point here is that when there is a choice between devotional service and the rest of the world, even dharma, we can give up dharma. We can see that in Gadadhar Pandit. Gadadhar Pandit took the vow of Kshetra Sannyas. But when Mahaprabhu decided to leave Jagannath Puri, Gadadhar Pandit wanted to go with him. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, look, you have taken a vow of Kshetra Sannyas. Gadadhar Pandit says, my vow of Kshetra Sannyas, my vow of anything, let them all go to hell. Because the only goal of my life is to be with you. You are my only goal. All these are meant for getting you. Now, if I lose you in order to maintain that, what's the use of all those activities? So that is the ultimate consideration of dharma. And that is what Krishna actually pointed out. Sarva dharman parityaj. Or Chaitanya Charitamrita is saying that prithivite jato kichu dharma name chale, bhagavat kahe taha praripurna chale. Whatever goes on in the name of dharma in this world, Bhagavat is saying that it's all cheating. Because only dharma is to surrender unto Krishna. So, that day it was spent like that. Ram, Dasarath received the news of Ram from Sumantra. And that night he left his body. Before that, there is one very interesting point also I should mention. When Dasarath was lamenting and Kaikeyi was rebuking Dasarath, Kaushala was rebuking in a way, then Dasarath narrated one incident. He said, when I was a young prince, long ago, when I was a young prince, I learned the art of piercing an invisible object with my arrow just by hearing the sound. It's called Shabdavedi Ban. Shabdavedi. It could penetrate, it could, it's, you can say, a sound guided missile. Now there are many various kinds of missiles. One is a heat guided missile. So there is to be he had this sound guided missile. The following the sound, it would hit the target. So, when I was hunting in the forest on the bank of Saraju, then I heard some sound which appeared like an elephant was drinking water. So I released my arrow. And the arrow actually hit the target, but the target was not an elephant. It was a Brahmana boy who was filling the water in the river. And so I heard the cry of that boy, that who hit me? Who has so cruelly pierced me with this arrow, even though I am an innocent rishi? So when he heard that sound, he immediately ran there and he found that there is a Brahmana boy. So the Brahmana boy left his body. Before leaving his body, he said that he is the son of two blind persons. His father and mother both are blind. He is the only one who used to take care of them. So he came to fetch water for them, and now he killed him. So Dasharatha then filled up the water pot, went to the parents of this Brahmana boy, and when they heard the footsteps, they asked, "Oh, you have come back, my boy?" Then Dasarath said, no, it's me, a Kshatriya prince. And he described the whole story. Then the father, who was a blind rishi, he said that, look, I would have cursed you and you would have died due to my curse. But because you have honestly admitted your crime, I won't curse you. I won't curse you. So please take me to where the boy is, where my dead son is. So Dasharatha took them to the sons, and they performed the last rite, the funeral ceremony. Then Indra himself came down to take that boy to the heavenly planet. And he assured his parents that in course of time they will also join him in the heavenly planet. So at the loss of their sons, the father and mother were so afflicted that they decided to also leave up their body, give up their body. And while giving up their bodies, the father actually told Dasarath that the way I have been afflicted due to the loss of my son, separation of my son, you will also feel the same pain due to the separation of your son. And so he narrated and he said that now that sinful act of mine is bearing its fruit. So thus, and the next day Dasarath actually left his body. In the middle of the night, when the half the night has passed away, the king left his mortal body. So then now the king's funeral has to take place, and the prince has to be coronated as the king, because the throne can never be left unoccupied. That's the rule, that's the custom. The king's throne should be occupied. So they arranged for Bharat to be brought back from Kekaya. And Bharat and Shatrughna, the messengers didn't tell them that Dasarath died. They got the news, they got to realize that Dasarath left his body only they came to Ayodhya, into the palace. And when Bharat and Shatrughna heard what happened, actually it was Kaikeyi who related the story, what happened. And he first went to his mother and he asked, mother, where is father? And so then Kaikeyi told what happened. And Kaikeyi thought that Bharat will be pleased, but instead Bharat was furious. He said that I have nothing to do with you. You are such a wicked person. And so Bharat, then Shatrughna, when he got to know that it was Manthara who did all this planning, masterminded the plan, he started to beat her up, dragged her out of the, and into the room and just started to beat. Then Kaikeyi came and stopped him, and she was crying. Then Bharat told Kaikeyi, that, oh wretched woman, he addressed Kaikeyi, oh wretched woman, not only will I bring Ram back from the forest, but I too will spend 14 years in exile just to keep my father's promise. So he told Kaikeyi that he'll bring Ram back, put him on the throne, and to fulfill his father's promise, He will go to the forest and spend 14 years. I have no desire to become the emperor of the world, for I consider myself a servant of my elder brother Ram. Being away in a distant place, I had no idea of my mother's wicked schemes. Please believe me when I say that I had nothing to do with Ram's exile. Kaikeyi's desires are not to be shared by me. So this he said to the ministers. The next morning, Vasishtha took Bharat to give up his grief and cremate the body of his deceased father. Vasishtha then accompanied Bharat to the cremation site. However, upon seeing the body of Maharaj Dasarath being taken from the vat of oil and placed upon an ornamented carrier, Bharat suddenly lost all composure and began sobbing uncontrollably. Vasishtha again urged Bharat to calm himself so that the funeral rites can be completed. Then Bharat was proposed, Vasishtha proposed that, and the ministers proposed that Bharat become the king. But Bharat was determined. He said, no, I won't become king. And he said, I'll go to the forest and bring Ram back. And everybody liked the idea, because everybody wanted Ram to come back. So, and Bharat could do that in a way, because he was the only one who could persuade. Anyway, we'll see then what happened. So Bharat then told his ministers to make all the arrangements. He said, get the army ready and send the engineers to build roads through the forest so that we can go and see Ram. And so they journeyed. When they came to the bank of the river, Saraju, then river Ganges, then Guha became suspicious. He thought that Bharat is actually going to harm Ram in order to remove all the obstacles from the path of his kingdom. He now has come to harm Ram. So Guha was prepared. He said, we are going to fight with him and stop him from this devious plan. So he went, but at the same time he went to Bharat and asked him. He got his man ready and said that if he has any devious intention, then be prepared to fight with them. And he went with some gifts to Bharat, and then he told Bharat, Bharat, did you come here with any intention to harm Ram? Then Bharat broke down crying. He said that I'm going to bring Ram back. And then Guha became pacified. So he showed him all the places what Ram did. He said that this is the place where Ram slept that night. And me and Lakshman stayed up the whole night. And he pointed out that that where they slept, the grass still bore the mark of their sleeping there. And then he told that how Ram matted his hair with the sap of banyan tree. So Bharat also told him to bring some banyan tree sap, and he also matted his own hair. And in this way he went to he arrived at Bharadvaja's ashram. Bharadvaja also told him that, did you come to harm Ram? Then Bharat told him about his plan. Bharadvaja said that, I knew your intention with my mystic power, but I just asked for the sake of formality. And so actually Bharadvaj gave them a very wonderful treatment. Like he created a city there with his mystic power, with all kinds of facilities and comforts. Apsaras dancing to give pleasure to the soldiers of Bharat, and most wonderful, delicious food was served to them, and a city was created for their comfort. But Bharat was not at all interested in that. And when Bharadvaj saw Vasishtha enter the ashram, he quickly rose up to greet him. He proceeded to ask the welfare of Ayodhya, wanting to know Bharat's true intention. So he asked Bharat, "O prince, please tell me what brings you to the forest. I pray you have not come with any intention of harming Ram." Then Bharat was extremely hurt by this rishi's words. With tears in his eyes he replied, "It is painful to see how people doubt my intention. Please know that I have come to the forest only to try to convince Ram to return to Ayodhya so that he can rule the kingdom. O foremost of sages, please be gracious to me and show me where Ram is staying." So then Bharadvaj told him, "O prince, I already knew your true intention by dint of my yogic power. I only tested you as a formality. Your elder brother Ram is residing in Chitrakut mountain. Now please stay here for one night. You can resume your journey tomorrow." And then at the end, when he was about to leave, Bharadvaj told Bharat that please don't consider your mother to be guilty. So actually there is a higher purpose behind Ram's banishment to the forest, which is meant for the welfare of everyone, welfare of all living beings. So that means Bharadvaj knew what is the purpose of Ram coming, going to the forest, and all that would happen. Why all that would happen? Because Ravan has to be killed. This was the divine arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead to kill Ravan. And in course, all these wonderful emotional experiences were felt by different individuals. Different emotions were felt. So, in the meantime, Ram is staying in Chitrakut, and he was with Lakshman and Sita, and he used to always try to give please Sita, comforting her so that she doesn't become affected by the hardship of the forest life. Ram was passing his time with Sita, sitting on a big rock at the foot of the hill. Ram was describing to Sita the various roots that the rishis ate, and pointed out the various varieties of trees, flowers and wild animals that abounded there. Ram always tried his best to please Sita, to divert her mind from the grief of living in exile. So while he was sitting on a rock, spending the time with Sita, he saw some sound, noise. So he asked Lakshman, "Find out what's happening." Then Lakshman climbed up a tall tree and he said, "Army is coming to attack us." So then Ram said, "Find out from the flag whose army it is." So then after some time Lakshman detected that it was the flag of Bharat's chariot. So he said, Bharat is coming to harm us. So where, take my, give me my bow, and Ram, you also get ready. Hide Sita in some place. And I will, now is the time that I am going to teach that person. And give, teach him a lesson. He is not satisfied just getting the kingdom. He has even now come to harm us here. So, then Ram told him, Lakshman, Bharat is coming here in great eagerness to see me. He is not coming here to harm me, he is coming. What then is the necessary of bows and arrows? My opinion is that Bharat has come to offer me the kingdom. Actually, Bharat is coming to offer his kingdom to me. If you wish to kill Bharat so you may enjoy the royal throne yourself, then say so. And I will hand it over to Bharat, you peacefully. I will hand Bharat to you peacefully. Being admonished by Ram, Lakshman hung his head in shame, saying, I am keeping our father. I was hoping our father had come to see us. However, since his familiar elephant is visible, though bereft of its usual white umbrella, I do not think he has. So he detected Dasarath's elephant, but he saw that the white umbrella and the elephant is not there. So he could make out that Dasarath didn't come. When Bharat came to Ram, he rushed forward with tears in his eyes, crying, O Ram, how painful it is seeing you with matted hair and clothing made of tree bark, and your lotus feet prickled by thorns in the forest. It is my fault that you cannot enjoy the royal comfort you are accustomed to, and instead must endure this hardship in the jungle. And coming to touch Ram's feet, Bharat fainted and fell to the ground. Ram quickly lifted him up and was disturbed to see that he was also wearing tree bark. Bharat also was wearing tree bark. And after embracing Shatrughna, who had also fallen at his feet, Ram embraced Sumantra and Guha. Then Ram took Bharat to his lap, saying, Dear brother, why have you come here, leaving your father alone and unattended? Tell me about your mothers and citizens of Ayodhya. Are they all very happy? Are they all well and happy? Then Bharat told Ram, My dear brother, are you aware? My dear Bharat, please know that a righteous kingdom will surely prosper. Are the Brahmins and the elders and the demigods being properly respected? Are the women within the kingdom honored and protected? Are disputed being impartially judged? I hope you are avoiding the 14 weaknesses of a king. The 14 weaknesses of a king, Ram advised, are atheism, hypocrisy, anger, procrastination, laziness, slavery to the senses, contempt of good advice, lack of vigilance, fondness of a bad counsel, impractical planning, inability to keep a secret, attachment for foolish friends, negligence of religious observances, and failure to counteract enemies. These are the 14 weaknesses of a king. Then Ram told Bharat, Bharat, are you aware of three kinds of prowess for a king? What are the three kinds of prowess of a king? Their energy, authority, and intelligence. Energy, authority, and intelligence are the prowesses of an individual, especially in a leadership position, in a king. The four types of company should be avoided, Ram advised Bharat. They are gossipy, foul mouth, the usurpers of property, and the unjust. And then Ram told him that, I hope you prefer to keep the company of one learned man than thousands of ignorant fools. It is better to be in the company of one learned man than in the association of a thousand fools. One talented minister can give one immense benefit, whereas in times of necessity, thousands of fools can do nothing. And then he advised him, O Bharat, if a king does not get rid of a physician who is simply adept at aggravating disease, a doctor who simply increases the disease, a servant who is intent upon bringing disgrace to his master. So this applies to the disciples also. A disciple who brings disgrace to the spiritual master is useless. A servant who brings disgrace to his master, or a warrior who wants to become ruler himself. So these three associations should be avoided. One should get rid of. While observing Bharat's matted hair and forest clothing, Ram could understand that he had accepted these austerities out of his love for him. Thus, after again embracing Bharat, Ram inquired, My dear brother, why have you relinquished the throne, coming to the forest dressed as a mendicant? Bharat replied, O Ram, my mother's intrigues were carried out without my knowledge. I know you are the rightful heir. Thus, I implore you to return to Ayodhya and take up the rule of the kingdom. Practically, the whole Ayodhya has come to a standstill, for everyone is morose because of your absence. Ram then picked up Bharat, saying, I know you took no part in banishing me to the forest. Still, I have no desire to gain the throne by sinful means. O Bharat, you should not condemn your mother or the king, for they were both acting within the bounds of propriety. Indeed, elders are free to do as they like with their dependents. Therefore, you should accept the royal throne and rule the kingdom. That was the desire of your father. I am determined to spend 14 years in the forest, for I consider the father's order the supreme religious principle. So Ramchandra is now, we can see the Marjada Purushottam. So he is establishing the Marjada of Dharma. To obey the order of the father is the supreme dharma. Bharat, however, objected, saying, in the presence of an elder prince, no one else can become the king. Therefore, you must come back to Ayodhya and sit upon the royal throne after offering water to the departed soul of our father. So this is the first time Ram actually heard that his father left his body. When he heard of his father's death, Ram immediately fainted to the ground. And then Sita and Lakshman and Shatrughna sprinkled water on his body. He regained his consciousness. Then, after tearfully lamenting the loss of his father, Ram declared, I shall never return to Ayodhya. Bharat told Ram, I want to return the kingdom of Kaushal to you. So Ram decided not to go to Ayodhya, but Bharat was insisting that you have to take the kingdom of Kaushal. So Ram pacified after some discussions. He said, "Dear brother, why are you adopting this attitude? Why are you stubbornly trying to oppose me?" Ram was trying to persuade Bharat to go back, take the kingdom, rule the kingdom. Just then a host of celestial rishis appeared invisibly in the sky and applauded the wonderful conversation between the two brothers. Then, desiring to accelerate the death of Ravana, the rishi said to Bharat, "O Bharat, you should follow the advice of your elder brother, Ram." Finally, surrendering to the inevitable, Bharat produced a pair of wooden shoes inlaid with gold. And he asked Ram to step on that. And Bharat decided to take these shoes of Ram as the representative of Ram. And he took the shoes of Ram back to Ayodhya. He didn't even go to Ayodhya. He couldn't go back to Ayodhya. It was so painful. So he transferred the capital from Ayodhya to Nandigram. And there on a throne, he placed the shoes of Ram. And he was, as a representative of Ram, he was ruling the kingdom. As an ascetic, he also remained for 14 years as an ascetic. And it has been described that Ramchandra was dwelling in the forest and leading the life of an ascetic. But Bharat, living in a palace, he was leading the life of an ascetic. Ruling over the kingdom, he was leading the life of an ascetic. So Bharat's austerity was greater than Ram's austerity. Just now, 1:15. Just right. So, this is how this chapter ends. This chapter has a little portion, but I will deal with that in the next section. It will actually be befitting, because Ram then left Chitrakoot and left Chitrakoot and went to the ashram of Atri Muni, Atri Rishi. So that description I will continue in the next class. Thank you. And as I mentioned, in this section I am not going to take any question, because I will just tell the story. Do you like to hear the story? Or should I do it in some other way? Perfect. Okay. Thank you very much.